T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Forget the cigars, the coffee, the bacon and eggs, and especially those blueberry pancakes. Get me a couple glasses wherever they're at. Glasses, and I'll make you breakfast right now.
Howard Simon.
I got something that'll keep you going all day long, Daddy. Don't worry about a thing, brother. Just don't worry about
it. You have got to be kidding me.
No carbs, no fat, nothing but pure protein, bro. You've got to get your head right.
Jeremy White.
Not raw eggs.
Oh, that's
come on.
This is the only way to go.
Howard Simon.
You're in strict training. We got to watch your diet. We got to make sure you don't get overloaded with all those carbohydrates, and especially that nasty cigar I saw you smoking. The best protein you can get. We're going to do this 4 times a day. Just watch how easy it goes down, and then you're next, brother. This is how we start the day. Every morning and every 2 hours, we do the same thing.
Oh, no.
There's not a better way to go. Come on.
Howard Simon.
You're already late. I was here at 5 in the morning, man. You're sitting there sucking on a cigar and drinking that coffee. Do it, man. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hang on. Almost ready. Hold on. I was here at 4:30 and I'm still not ready. Okay.
What's up?
How you doing, man?
Good. I just watched a movie trailer for a Thanksgiving
movie. Yeah, I just
movie.
Saw your treat.
Yeah, yeah. It's got an evil turkey that kills people.
This video may be inappropriate for... Okay, that's me.
It is.
I don't like gory, scary stuff, so
this isn't,
I'm not
gonna... I don't think this is scary. I think this is one of those comedy horror movies that's so bad.
Should I watch the what you tweeted out, the link? Am I okay, or is it going to scar me?
It's definitely not going to scar you. You're going to... The budget for this movie was probably $11. It's a bunch of kids that just made a movie with an evil turkey, and I mean...
How evil is the turkey?
I watched the trailer, and I feel like everyone else should, too.
5 college students.
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't even know what the classification for this... B movie is not even it. It's below B.
What was the scary movie that was like made for $1.50 and turned out to be like a massive moneymaker?
Blair Witch Project.
Yeah. There you go.
But that had a low budget, but was actually a professionally...
Oh, like, this is... Okay.
That was like
is.
A good movie.
Yeah.
This is not.
5 college students will embark on a journey.
At least on the trailer. Yeah, they go camping and there's an evil turkey that
an
is evil out to kill.
Turkey.
Yeah, and by the way, the turkey also can talk.
Can so 5 grown... Adults can't take any. You can't beat any one evil turkey.
No, this thing is powerful. Of course.
Oh, okay, and it flies. I assume, even though turkeys can't
you
fly.
Know, I'm not sure if it flies. I don't know about
okay,
that.
Okay, see, I feel that would be part of the problem of taking the evil turkey if it could fly and like come at you.
I don't know. There's a scene in the trailer where the turkey throws a bunny.
I just
from
saw that. I know.
The bushes just... into the fire.
I thought that was the turkey for a second.
No, yeah, he's clearly sending a message that he will kill people. So yeah, thanks killing.
Now I'm watching without audio, but I am watching about halfway through the the heck?
I mean without you're not missing
Oh, that's
much.
The turkey. Okay, it's talking. Got it.
Right.
He has
like,
only one thing to say. Oh, gee willikers. That oh my god, that turkey is so funny. Okay,
right?
I can't gobble, gobble, I can't, Mr. Falcon. I just would be, oh my God, that is too funny. Oh my Lord.
This looks like something I made in fourth period study hall in high school.
Yeah.
It's really.
There's low budget and then there's this low budget.
But the turkey looks like, yeah, you're right. It's not like,
turkey
crazy. Looks like a paper mache thing that somebody. Right,
I found my way to that by searching for Thanksgiving movies because Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, of course, is one. And beyond that, the list of Thanksgiving movies is not long.
Brayton and I were just having that discussion. Like, what else is known for Thanksgiving?
If you look it up, there's Home for the Holidays. The Blind Side, I guess, is set in Thanksgiving. This is where you get to what is Knives Out a Thanksgiving movie? Was it set at Thanksgiving? There's a Charlie Brown
movie. That's a great movie, by the way. But
it's
a
great movie, yeah.
Was it set at Thanksgiving? The family was together for something. Was it Thanksgiving dinner they had all come together for?
It must be. That is a great movie.
It really is fantastic.
Yes, it's a great movie.
So many twists and turns in it.
If that takes place at Thanksgiving, then I'm going to give that, putting it right up there. Planes, Trains, Automobiles. I'm reading that Scent of a Woman might be set at Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to think. Did they go to New York City when around Thanksgiving time or something? Or wherever they went, right? Didn't he travel to New York City and then he came home and whatever. If you're really, 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 really old like me, you guys have probably never heard of something called March of the Wooden Soldiers by Laurel and Hardy, an old black and white movie. I'm telling you, that aired. Maybe it was just a New York City thing. I have no idea. But every Thanksgiving, that old movie was on. And I won't even tell you the storyline to it. But I equate Thanksgiving with March of the Wooden Soldiers.
The thing that I always think about watching tonight is the Sabres. The Sabres always play tonight. It's always home.
Hmm.
It's Winnipeg or
last year's Calgary.
Calgary, right? It's often a non grade A opponent that wouldn't necessarily move the needle for everybody. So you get in when everybody's got a Thursday off, and it's Winnipeg, Calgary. I wanted to say Minnesota might have come here once, but the night before Thanksgiving.
They always played night before Thanksgiving. That was pretty all right.
As long as I can remember,
All right.
The one game, I think it was the game right after the Ryan Miller incident, the Bruins came to Buffalo and everyone was all amped up because Paul Grostad was
the Chara rematch
going
game
to
was
fight.
The night. Oh wow,
that was Lucic rematch.
Lucic. Yeah,
that's the night before Thanksgiving.
I think I remember that being the night before Thanksgiving.
I
yes,
it was later in the season. All right.
That was, again, that was the game after the whole incident
in
Boston.
Right. Yeah. It would have been the first time they came here. The Bruins came here right after that.
I'll double check that real quick to be sure.
Lucic. Yeah.
I want to look that up.
Hmm.
I want to say, I'm trying to think of when that was in the, what season was that? 2011-12.
It was a 4-3 shootout loss to the Bruins at home on November 23rd. And if I go back to 2011, it should.
No, it's 2012. Or 11-12 season, you're saying.
Yes, 11-12 season. Remember, that's the day before Thanksgiving.
They lost in a shootout, huh?
Yep.
Hmm.
Wow, yeah, they lost to the Bruins
in
Boston 6-2 in the game that he got plowed over in.
And then this was the very next game against the Bruins.
Yeah.
And Gostad had to fight Lucic, and everybody was all...
They fought him, and that was like, remember, guys, that was like a huge turning point. The Bruins franchise was never the same after that game here. They were so scarred that they fell to... Oh, no, they're still good. Okay, forget it.
The Sabres were scarred for a while.
Yeah.
Because they decided being tough was more important than anything.
They
did win two of the next three, the Sabres did. Hmm. And then, of course, they had Jonas Enroth in their backup goaltender. And, he did not have a great run at that point. They had a bad December, a bad January, and then a solid February, solid March to miss the playoffs in 2011-12. So, fun times. Hmm. Fun times. I can't believe that was the day before Thanksgiving.
I really thought it was later in the in the year. Hmm.
That really drives home. I mean, that game is usually, intense as it is.
Right.
And the Sabres finished the season in ninth place. Hmm. Missed by a couple points. So, there's supposed to be a Sabres game tonight.
A night before Thanksgiving game.
Always.
And you go out, have a couple drinks in downtown, relax, get the next day off, sleep
people
in.
People are home to, say hello
That's
to
right.
each other.
Family's back in town, sure.
Yeah, if you're out of town, you go to that game because you get a chance to see people you maybe haven't seen in a while. It's a great tradition for the night before Thanksgiving to be home for a Sabres game. It's usually one of the games that I'll pick, as a season ticket holder, like in a draft that we'll do with other people when we split tickets, it's pretty high on the list. The opener is always my first choice. And then tonight's game is pretty high for me, pretty high up there. I'm trying to think if there's anything outside of the opener that stands out. New Year's Eve happens often. Sometimes you like the last game of the season because it's, customer appreciation and maybe there's some cool stuff.
Are they usually home the day after Thanksgiving, too? Like it's a Wednesday, Friday thing?
Almost always.
Yeah. So if you're coming into town, you can get tickets to one or both of these games because that's when you're visiting.
And then I feel like they're on the road on Saturday. You know, it'll be home Winnipeg, home
Columbus.
Who's the day after Thanksgiving?
Columbus on a Friday.
Ideal team that they always play. Is it
like Florida or something?
I was going to say
divisional matchup.
Yeah. And then on Saturday they go to Toronto and then they lose that game. And you know, it's a tradition. It's what happens every year, or at least it feels like. So yeah, I mean, I'll miss that tonight. I'll miss the Sabres tonight. I have been missing the Sabres on a regular nightly basis.
If there's a season, you know, I haven't really given a lot of thought to it, honestly, because I don't know. It still seems so far off that they would play. They might be playing games in a month and whatever, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, but it feels like it's galaxies away. But now that you brought it up, Jeremy, I think, you know, when they do play, I mean, I think they'll play. I'm going to miss not playing Toronto this season. The all-Canadian division, in all likelihood, there'll be an all-Canadian division. And we love the games against the Leafs. I know it's kind of more of a one-sided rivalry. They don't look at it as a big rival for them. But those games are so much fun, even with the Leaf fans in the building. And Eichel always scores, and Matthews always scores for them, and it's intense. And there wouldn't be any Toronto Maple Leafs Buffalo Sabre games this season, unless they meet in the playoffs, I guess. We wouldn't see them play Toronto at all, and that's sad.
Yeah, I'll get over that. It's a couple Sabres wins usually. That's kind of nice. They beat the Leafs a lot
here. You know, maybe not as much there lately.
Not as much,
but here, yeah, I'll miss that. I haven't really given a lot of thought to what hockey season would be like, but that would definitely be something I'd miss those games against Toronto.
Yeah. So Thanksgiving movies, Thanksgiving specials.
Well, there's always the Peanuts Thanksgiving.
Yep.
With Charlie Snoopy making toast, you know, with popcorn, toast and popcorn. At Christmas we'll have this discussion. You'll tell me about Die Hard. But I don't know of any other than Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. What is always a staple of Thanksgiving? You know, it's weird.
I should see what's on
Thanksgiving
tonight.
Football.
Like, what movies are on tonight?
I'm trying to think. Do all the Christmas shows start airing, right? Some of them have already started, but this is where we go really deep into the Tim Allen Santa Claus movies and the Grinch, the Jim Carrey Grinch that stole Christmas, and maybe, I don't know, does Christmas Story start airing after Thanksgiving, or do they wait a little deeper into December before they show a Christmas Story all the time?
It's on Christmas Eve every
yeah,
every Christmas
like a marathon,
for
right?
24 hours.
Yeah. I wondered if I wasn't sure if that's one of those movies. They like the day after Thanksgiving. It's Black Friday, Christmas shopping, sales, and you start seeing all the Christmas movies and specials on TV.
Yeah, I think as soon as Star 102.5 plays Christmas music,
they switch.
The Christmas Story gets like a bat signal.
Yeah, right.
And they start to they play
Freeform channels. Here's Star flipping, and they go right. Roll out all the Christmas shows. Got it. Polar Express, here we go. Put them all out there. Santa Claus 1, Santa Claus 2, Santa Claus 3. Crank them out, baby. Star flipped.
The Big Chill.
The Big Chill?
Big Thanksgiving scene flashback. I
did not
know that
see it.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I think I know what it's about, but I don't believe I've ever seen The Big Chill.
Adam's Family Values, Grumpy Old Men, Nobody's Fool opens on Thanksgiving in lonely upstate New York. And follows Sully, a 60-something construction worker who decides it's time to try and get his life together.
Huh.
The review continues.
Sounds like
on.
Me in a few years.
It may not be the happiest.
Jeremy, you've got the wrong like sounding voice for. It sounds like he's got to get his life back together.
No, this is definitely a depressing movie.
Apparently. Oh,
okay.
It says the next line is, "It may not be the happiest holiday entertainment, but the film earned star Paul Newman Best Actor Academy Award nomination."
Okay, I didn't even know that was.
Yeah.
What was
I've
the name
never
of the
seen it.
What was the movie name again?
Nobody's Fool.
No, okay, I'm not. I'm a big Paul Newman
fan. Tells
the
story of a loner who walked out on his family years ago, now lives in a small town in New York. One day his estranged son shows up with his grandson, sparking a reconciliation and a renewed stance on life.
All right.
And it's Paul Newman, so you can't go wrong.
Love Paul Newman.
Who doesn't like Paul Newman?
Everybody likes Paul Newman.
Yeah. Right. There you go. That's the rundown of is there college football on tonight? Is there...
That's a really good question. There's college basketball on today. I know that. I mean, pretty much all day, I think there's college basketball. Don't know if there's, I have not looked at what's on tonight. I don't know if there's college football. There's, I don't believe there's, I think Maction is not this week. I think they've moved them to Saturday games. I mean, UB's playing Saturday. I know that. Mm-hmm. And then we got two. Don't know if we're going to have three football games tomorrow because I'm not sure what's going on with the Ravens and the Steelers. They just keep having more positive tests in Baltimore.
Do you, have you seen the Barry Pachesky put this out? And it's, you know, we used to do conspiracy, controversy, schmontroversy.
Yeah, yep.
Maybe we could do conspiracy, schmonspiracy.
Yeah.
Okay, so the players that have been placed in the NFL reserve COVID-19 list.
Right.
The total number. Do you know the distribution of days of the week?
Like, so what day they're going on the list?
Yes. What day a person goes on the COVID-19 list? The distribution of when that happens.
Okay. I will guess, like, Sunday night, Monday morning, something. I don't know.
31 on Monday.
Yeah.
25 on Tuesday. 26 on Wednesday. 28 on Thursday. 26 on Friday. 28 on Saturday. Ooh. And 4 on Sunday.
Hmm. Seems like there's one number that sticks out from that.
One of these does not belong
with the other. One of these.
One day.
Is not
it doesn't
like
seem to
be,
have any positive tests.
Yeah.
I mean, like, without going too far.
You're saying something smells wrong here?
It's certainly something.
Something's rotten in Denmark.
Yeah. He mentioned it as just a, you know, you ever notice there's not any positives on a Sunday? And then he went ahead and did all the, you know, the looks into who went where. And here you have, you know, 150 players, 4 of them on a Sunday.
And they're getting tested every day, right?
Every
day. It's not like they skip a test Saturday, there would be no results on Sunday morning.
This is only games since October 12th.
Huh.
Because that's when they started every day.
Every day, right. Yeah, so they don't want anything coming out on a game day, basically, is what we're going at here, right?
That's what it would certainly look like.
The last thing you want is a Sunday game day, and all of a sudden you're just seeing everything on the internet about, hey, guess, you know, this team put 3 guys on a list, and this team put 2, and this team put...
Well, not even 3 guys on the list. But
5, 7...
If you were to do that, 3 guys on the list and quarantining this and this and this, like a whole tight end room like the Bills had to, all of a sudden you tune in for Sunday's game and Steelers-Ravens is canceled. Like, oh, everybody's off.
Yeah.
So,
it's weird.
I mean, it's definitely worth that little look and worth that. How about that?
It's just a coincidence. Yeah, I wonder about, I mean, look, tomorrow's game, I mean, you don't practice much in a Thursday week anyway, right? If you play Sunday, my guess is you meet Monday. You probably only have one real practice when you're playing the week where you have a Thursday game, especially if you're getting on a plane and traveling Wednesday, and that would be Tuesday. But you still look at it, and I still wonder. So, I mean, the Ravens shut the facility Monday. They worked remotely. They worked remotely again yesterday, and they're supposed to get on a plane today at some point and make the short plane trip to Pittsburgh. So they will not have any on-field work unless they're doing it today, and I wouldn't think they would because they keep getting more positive tests. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to have a single on-field workout. They're working remotely all week, and they're going to get on a plane today, and they're going to play a really important game for them, by the way, sitting at 6-4 tomorrow night against the Steelers, which seems odd.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago we talked about the Ravens and Steelers game, and this game and specifically that it might not be that important, but that was because I thought Baltimore would be good and that they would be made to make the playoffs. If they lose this game, I mean, they're already on the outside looking in as it is.
The back end of their schedule is pretty easy. I don't have it in front of me. I was looking at it the other day. They close their last 3 games maybe or so are against, I think, all losing teams. So even if they lose, they could still get themselves back in the playoffs. But, you know, 6-5, in even with the extra playoff berth, with so many teams in the AFC at that 3-4 loss mark right now, this would certainly be a big loss if Baltimore's unable to. And they're going to be depleted. We know they're depleted as far as running backs. The question is, what other areas might they be a little down in the numbers because of either positive tests or the close contact guys being held out? And in this week, you know, last week, Jerry, remember the Raiders, early last week, the Raiders had almost their entire starting defense on the reserve COVID list. And it's not because they all tested positive. It's because, you know, they could have been on there because of close contact. But, you know, you have a certain number of days. If you keep testing negative, you can be active. And that happened for the Raiders. They were able to bring, if not all, most of the guys who are on the reserve list were able to play Sunday. Baltimore can't do that in a short week. You cannot have enough negative tests in a short week to satisfy the protocol. So whoever's on that list, excuse the language, ain't playing tomorrow night. So that's, I think that's a really big story to monitor. And at this point, from everything that all the NFL guys were reporting yesterday, the game is still on as scheduled for tomorrow night.
Which is wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good luck, Baltimore. I mean, I just think it's nuts that, you know, if you got all these tests, and it's five players right now have tested positive and four staffers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not right. It's not a huge number. And we've talked about expanded practice squad and different elevation rules. So, you know, all the protocols are in place that if you have a few guys on the list, you're supposed to be able to handle it. But still, it makes life, you know, real difficult for a team, especially, like I said, in a short work week with no practice and just working remotely this week, putting in a game plan while everybody's at home on their computer.
Yeah. Good luck to the Ravens.
Yeah.
I mean, the Steelers, man, the Steelers have the easiest schedule from start to finish this year. And they're about to beat the Ravens again and go to 11-0, and their best wins will be Tennessee and Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. Right? And they would have swept Baltimore if they beat them tomorrow.
They will have one. They play the Browns once.
They played
no?
the Browns at home already, and they beat them pretty good.
No, but I'm saying it's only once.
Yes, they still play one more. They play. I think they end the season in Cleveland. It might be their last game.
They're about to be 11-0 with one win over a team currently in the playoffs.
Wow, that's bad.
Right? It was Tennessee back in. Sorry, Tennessee's back in because they beat Baltimore.
Yeah, Tennessee's in a wild card. They're not first in their division, but they're in a wild card.
They have two wins over teams currently in a playoff spot.
Yeah.
11-0, nine wins against non-playoff teams. Like, think about that, you
mm-hmm.
know? The schedule is always unbalanced. It's not to say Pittsburgh's not good because they haven't made, you know, the big mistake. But they're gonna cruise into the postseason as the one seed, and they might – who knows if they'll be undefeated. I like that you picked the Bills to beat them.
Did you? Thanks.
I did. In picking the Bills, you picked the Bills to beat the Steelers. The Bills will be the best team they've played. I guess outside of Tennessee, who was playing well at the time but has since kind of come back a little bit. It just –
The Bill, and you know, it's fine. I just wanted to double check because my memory blows. But so you said two for the Steelers, right? And the Bills
two.
Have
it's the Browns
four.
And the Titans, and the Bills have four.
Four wins, three against the NFC West, and then Vegas. Vegas is in a wild card spot right
but
now.
Then again, like think about it with the Bills and the Steelers. It's not just only two wins; it's only two games.
Yeah, right. At least the Bills have losses to Tennessee, Kansas City,
Arizona. If they're in a playoff spot
right
now,
right. So that's seven games they've played against playoff teams right now.
Seven to
yeah.
two.
Right. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a good schedule. Hey, you know what? Like, far be it for us to complain, last year the Bills had a major break when it came to the schedule.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
They got off. Every once in a while, you're going to get those breaks.
Yeah.
And maybe the Bills get a break like that next year. Who knows?
And you don't know, you know, there's no way to predict on a year-to-year your crossovers, you know, which NFC, you know, the Steelers, are they crossing over? Which is their crossover? Is it the NFC East this year? I'm trying to remember who they played.
The Steelers, yeah. That's part of the reason they're undefeated.
Yeah. So they get a major
Dallas,
break.
The Giants.
Yeah.
They play Washington after this
That's
Ravens
right.
game.
That's right. It's the next game. There's your break. And then this year, the Bills happen to have to play the toughest division in football, the NFC West, although they're 2-1 against them, you know, with San Francisco still to come. And so you never know how the schedule's going to fall. You never know about quarterback injuries. You know, you never know if, you know, you just catch a break and – If you're playing Dallas this year, you don't play Dak Prescott or rookies, right? You know, last year the Bills played, you know, got a major break with Roethlisberger going down and they didn't have to face him. They played Duck Hodges, or a team decides to say, you know what, we're throwing in a rookie and we're playing this guy instead. So it is. It's hard to predict. But the playoff thing, that's pretty wild that they only have two games out of 10 against teams that are currently in the playoffs. That is one sweet schedule for them. It is Wednesday, if you've lost track. Happy day before Thanksgiving, and we would love to hear from you today. We've got a lot of stuff to get to. The Bills-Broncos game, we now know when it's going to be. It's going to be Saturday the 19th at 4:30. We'll get to that. We'll talk about the Bills and the matchup with the Chargers. We'll discuss a couple of Bills making the list of semifinalists for the Hall of Fame, Steve Tasker and Cornelius Bennett. We'll get to all of that. And we'll try and have some fun too. I mean, it is the day before Thanksgiving, granted a Thanksgiving like none of us have ever seen before in our lifetimes, and hopefully we'll never see again. 803-0550 to join us at any point in the show, 888-550-2550. on the show today. Sal will be with us at 7. He was at practice yesterday. The Bills will work again today. They'll be off tomorrow for Thanksgiving, so we'll get the latest on them from Sal. College basketball season starts today. However, COVID has played a little havoc with the schedule. A number of teams have already had to postpone games or cancel games on the college basketball schedule. We'll be chatting about that at 8:30 with Kyle Boone from CBS Sports, and we'll talk some football with Connor Orr from Sports Illustrated at 9:30 this morning. There you go. Hang out with us all morning long. 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
That no matter what your position or no matter what your role, if you were the greatest to ever do it, I think you were a Hall of Famer. Now that would apply to Ray Guy. I believe that applies to Devin Hester. I believe that will apply to Adam Vinatieri in a few years. And I believe that applies to the gentleman sitting to your left, Chris, in the red with the glasses, trying to pretend like he's not listening to me because he's modest and a classy gentleman. Steve,
Kyle,
you've gone down this road before.
Kyle, you're going to have to speak up. I'm not listening.
Never mind me for a second. I'll put a sock in it. How do you feel about it, Steve?
I'm ho-hum. I've been there before.
Yeah, he has been a semifinalist.
I'm going to act like I've been here before. That's what I'm going to do.
But sometimes that's how this goes, Steve. You've been there, and then it's that year where the thing changes and you get in.
All right, I'll just divulge one thing. I don't talk about this stuff very often, but I'm looking at the list just like you are on the screen right now. We're all looking at it, and there's guys on there.
One of his teammates is on there.
Cornelius Bennett is biscuit before me. But also on this list are guys like Calvin Johnson, in absolute rubber stamp. Peyton Manning, what are you going to do? Yes, rubber stamp, Peyton Manning. Charles Woodson, absolutely, positively rubber stamp. There are other guys as well who I thought would be in by now ahead of me that, you know, there are guys on this list that, you know, I'm shocked that had to even wait 1 year. So, it's like the great Bills players of this franchise. You just got to go down the list too far to get to my name. So, you know, I'm perfectly fine with that because it's a great conversation to be a part of. But I'm like a lot of people. They're, you know, I'm happy to be on the list. But my name's, you know, it starts with a T. It's at the bottom. So, you know, I'm fine with it. I love this list. I love the fact that I'm included on it, and I'm getting to be an old guy now, and it's kind of nice, you know, that I have grandkids.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool. And that's about as far as it goes. It's cool.
Steve Tasker on One Bills Live yesterday.
It's a heck of a list to find your name on.
You know what? See, that's the thing for me. All right, hang on. Let me do the headlines real quick. And because I was thinking about that yesterday, because he's running out of modern era eligibility time, if you will, which I'll explain in a second. Steve Tasker, Cornelius Bennett, among 25 semifinalists for the class of 20 would be next year, right? 2021 Pro Football Hall of Fame. We'll talk about that more in a moment. The Bills practiced yesterday, but John Brown and Dawson Knox were not at practice. Don't necessarily panic over that. They don't have to list an injury report for a Tuesday practice. And those guys, sometimes Brown for sure, gets a veteran rest day. The Bills game at Denver has been scheduled for Saturday, December 19th. It'll be a 4:30 game. The Chargers reportedly will designate running back Austin Ekeler to return off of IR this week. However, they're not sure. There's still no word about whether or not he would play Sunday against the Bills. More positive tests for the Ravens. Now 5 players and 4 staffers have tested positive for COVID. The game at Pittsburgh tomorrow night is still on, though. College basketball season opens today. College football playoff initial rankings came out last night. No real surprises here. Bama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State. The Minnesota-Wisconsin game has been canceled. Why is this worth mentioning? It is, or was, the longest uninterrupted series in FBS history. 113 consecutive years that game has been played. It was supposed to be played this Saturday. It has been canceled. And because of the Big Ten schedule, the way it's set up, there is no room for a makeup date. So no Paul Bunyan axe being handed out this year. Your headlines brought to you by the Exergen Twice Daily Thermometer. These may be uncertain times, but what is certain is that every family needs a reliable thermometer. Protect your family with the Exergen Temporal Scanner, the only home thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, physicians, and clinics. Stay safe with Exergen. You're right. I thought about exactly, I saw that comment from Steve, and I thought about exactly what you said. And, you know, so the deal is he's in semifinals, okay? This is the eighth time that Tasker's made it to the 25 semifinalists. He's never advanced beyond that to 15, I don't believe. And I think the odds are against him again this year in terms of this vote going forward. And he has, through 2022, Jeremy, he is a modern era candidate. If he doesn't make the Hall at the end of 2022, he moves over into the seniors category because he would have been retired 25 years at that point. So he's running out of time as a modern era candidate. Actually, maybe he's got, who knows, maybe he's got a better shot as a seniors candidate. But I thought about that too. Look, you're looking at that list, and here's a guy who, you know, what was it is like a seventh round or ninth round, whatever, late round draft pick for Houston. In his second season in the NFL, he's put on waivers, and he's picked up by the Bills, and he makes a name for himself, becomes one of the better-known Bills players, you know, all that other stuff, the honors he had here, as a coverage guy, you know, playing special teams. And believe me, I know where he ranks in terms of what people think of special teams. I don't think he's going in the Hall. I really don't. I think the odds are really heavily against him because you're just – you know, you're not going to get to special teamers unless we're talking about one of the greatest kickers or punters. I mean, I don't even know how they're going to put a coverage guy into the Hall of Fame. So I don't think he's going to get in eventually. But he is. A guy who, with his career, is on a list of 25 semifinalists for the ultimate honor in pro football.
Does it become tougher or easier to get a special teamer in?
Yeah.
As... am I wrong to say special teams are playing less of a role? I mean, with scoring going up, not to say defense plays less of a role, but we are very much in an offensively tilted era.
Yeah.
And teams are punting less than ever. You know, there are more scores than there are punts in the league this year for the first time in NFL history, which could work one of two ways. Could work that, hey, you know, you know, 3, 4, 5 years from now, we have to look back and say teams used to punt, and guys that were important for that need to be in the Hall of Fame. Or it could be, I mean, special teams. Haven't we learned that it's not maybe like necessary, but it's just not implemented the same way by teams the way that it was 10, 20 years ago?
No, I think that's part of it. I really do. I'm not a voter. We've talked to voters over the years. And I think when they get in that room and you look at that list, I mean, you look at let's say you're a voter this year, right? Calvin Johnson is on the list. He's first time eligible.
Here's the full list. Eric Allen. What do you think?
No.
Let's go alphabetically. No.
Nope.
Jared Allen.
Nope.
Not yet. He might go in.
Not yet. I mean, this is his, what is this? This is his first year, I think.
First year, yep.
Yeah, he's not going in as a first year guy.
Willie Anderson.
No.
Rondé Barber.
No.
No. Cornelius Bennett.
I don't think Cornelius is going in, no.
Tony Boselli.
I think he should have been in already. He was one of the best tackles of his era, period.
Okay. Leroy Butler.
No.
Alan Faneca.
He might. He seems to get a lot of support every year. Okay, so I'd say a maybe on him.
Rodney Harrison.
Oh, please, Lord, no.
I bet you he goes in for sure.
For Hall of Fame as cheap shot guys and you know, guys who did illegal things?
PEDs
great.
And, yeah, no, I bet he goes
super
in.
Super, wonderful.
Torrey Holt. I'd put him in a heartbeat.
Man.
Torrey Holt was one of the best receivers in the league.
But here's the problem. As you go through the list, you're going to get to the next guy.
Calvin Johnson.
And then a little bit down the road, you're going to get to Hines Ward. You're going to get to Reggie Wayne. You're going to get to – and this is the whole thing. How many receivers are going in 1 year?
Yep. John Lynch also on this list.
I think he goes in at some point. I think he's one of the best safeties to ever play the game.
Peyton Manning, of course.
No discussion needed.
Clay Matthews.
Nope.
Sam Mills.
He could be, but I don't think so. I'm going to lean no towards him.
Richard Seymour.
Should be at some point. Don't think he's going in this year.
Fred Taylor is a no.
Nope.
Zach Thomas.
Hell of a linebacker. I don't think he's going in.
I was surprised Jason Taylor got in from those Miami teams, so I'm prepared to
be
surprised.
I like Zach Thomas more, but I don't think he's going in, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
You mentioned Hines Ward.
He should be in.
Reggie Wayne's a definite yes.
Yep.
Patrick Willis.
Not now. Yeah, not now. I'd put him. He's going to have to wait a while.
Charles Woodson is a yes.
In.
Darren Woodson is a maybe.
No. Yeah, I was going to say no, but okay. We can't have too many Woodsons in.
And Bryant Young.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Now, again, you know, you're talking, it's anywhere from, four to eight players go in. And Manning's a lock, right? Woodson should be a lock. And maybe Calvin Johnson's a lock this year, right? Is it fair? What do you think? Calvin Johnson, lock?
I think so.
All right, that's three right there.
You know, you take away that he didn't play long enough, but he was without a doubt. And that's all you can say.
But think of all the names.
He was a Hall of Famer on his second day.
Think of, and this is no offense to Steve Tasker. I really think of all, you know, Bruce DeHaven is rolling over in his grave to yell at me about the value of special teams players and the importance of their role. But think of all the players you just named. You got to get down from 25 to 15 to 10, and then you go anywhere from 4 to 8 players actually go in. With all those guys, how does Tasker get in?
It's so hard.
Look how hard it was. I mean, you could name the greatest kickers to ever play the game, the greatest punters to ever play the game. And I think the number of special teamers, I believe you can count on one hand. I'll go look and see how many special teamers are in the hall. Return guys, combination, return, coverage, kickers, punters. It's a very small list. And when you get into that discussion and you know ultimately you're limited to 4 to 8 people, how are you putting a special teams player ahead of the pass rushers, the quarterbacks, the wide receivers, the linemen, and everybody, the linebackers, everybody you just went through? I just don't see it happening, quite honestly.
Yeah. Well, you know, you look
at... But it's amazing. He's right. Like you said, Jeremy, I'm sorry, this is a guy whose, you know, career was going nowhere, and nobody thought, and all of a sudden, he's a semifinalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame for an eighth time. That's pretty cool.
The other guys that are in his kind of spot, 4 players who are semifinalists for the first time. They were previously eligible. This is the farthest they've made it. Cornelius Bennett's on that list.
Right, first time, right.
Eric Allen, Willie Anderson, and Rodney Harrison. It's the first time he's made it this far also.
Yeah.
And my guess is, I wonder how many guys have been eligible and not made it to this step before and then later got in. Because it feels like if you... You know, different years are tough, right? There's going to be years where there are a lot of first-timers. And holy crap, we got a class that is just chock full of first-timers that have to make it through.
Right.
But for instance, like, let's talk about Rodney Harrison. And you might think he belongs in or not. That's not even to say that. But if he didn't make it to the semifinals before, doesn't that say you weren't good enough to make the – I don't know. I'm just – the way the process works out, I'm sure there are different years that it's tough. But for the – you know, to have been eligible – and not made the 25 finalists before, and then another year make it, says, okay, we got some other guys out of the way. You weren't good enough in the previous group of 25. Now you are. In a future years, there are going to be more Raptors jumping at the fence that are going to jump into this 25. So I think that's a really solid bet that you wouldn't make it.
Yeah.
But I would think that there are probably some that has happened to that ultimately ended up getting in.
I'm at the Hall of Fame's website. You know, and they break down all Hall of Famers by position. Now, there is no, quote, special teams designation. So if you're not a punter and you're not a kicker, if you're Tasker and a guy got in as a returner, coverage guy, he would go in by what he was known as in terms of his position. In this case, I guess Tasker would have to be a wide receiver. So there are, in the history of the National Football League, which is, what, 100 years old, 4 kickers are in the Hall and 1 punter. So 5 special team guys, without going through the list of positions and saying, well, this guy was really just a returner and a coverage guy, 5 special teamers are in the Hall of Fame. And those guys were actually guys that, you know, either kicked, contributed to scoring, or punted, field position, blah, 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 hang time, all this other stuff. I don't know how the voters would put, name the best coverage guy since Tasker. I'm trying to think. Who was the guy? New England, right? Didn't New England have, I forget who it is. Some Patriots player who for years was considered like a great special teamer. I just don't know how these guys go in the Hall.
Matthew Slater.
Thank you very much. He's not going in the Hall of Fame. And he's probably the best coverage guy since Tasker.
They won a lot of games.
I mean, and you know what? I don't think this hurts Tasker. I think it's more about the fact that you're known as a special teams player, not a wide receiver. He didn't really contribute on offense, right? I don't think it hurts him. But if it is, like he said, Bennett's ahead of him, I would agree. And the voters would look at it and go, we're going to take an every down guy or a regular player over a special teams guy. And they might look at the Bills and go, hey, that's a lot of guys in the Hall of Fame for a team that never won a Super Bowl. I don't think that's the case. But I'm not ruling out that idea that they look at it and go, you know, Kelly's in, Thurman's in, Andre's in, well, Lofton's in for multiple teams, Marv's in, blah, blah, you know, go down the list. We're putting in another Bill? And a guy who didn't play regularly, I just think it's really hit the cards are stacked against him, unfortunately. Maybe he goes in as a seniors guy. Who knows?
Yep.
So he's got a couple years to wait for that. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. Happy Wednesday. And, hey, happy Hoagie Hump Day. So today, amidst your busy schedule, maybe you're running around getting some of your Thanksgiving fixins. Maybe you're out doing your holiday shopping. Who knows? Find a little time to tweet us so you can get involved in Hoagie Hump Day. Tweet at WGR550. Use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day. If you do that, you're in the running to win a $25 gift card to Jim's Steakout. Jim's Steakout. Get your hoagie on. Visit jimsteakout.com.
It's a helicopter, and it's coming this way.
A helicopter?
It's flying something behind it. I can't quite make it out. It's a large banner, and it says, Happy Thanksgiving. From sight, ladies and gentlemen, what a sight. The copter seems to be circling the parking area now. I guess it's looking for a place to land. No, something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's a dark object. Perhaps a skydiver plummeting to the earth from only 2,000 feet into the air. Second to the third. There's no parachutes yet.
I can't tell just yet what they are, but...
Oh, my God, they're talking! Oh, Johnny, can you get this? Oh, they're crashing to the earth right in front of my eyes! One just went through the windshield of a parked car! Johnny, this is terrible. The
brothers running around pushing each other? Oh, my goodness! Oh, the humanity! Oh, people are running about. The turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement.
Ah, the famous WKRP in Cincinnati episode with the legendary Les Nessman, 5 or 6-time winner of the Buckeye NewsHawk Award. And there you go. That's a Thanksgiving memory for me. I always love the falling to the ground like sacks of wet cement. Happy day before Thanksgiving, everybody. There is a parade tomorrow, by the way, gentlemen. The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade will take place, but it won't resemble what you're used to in terms of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It's a shorter route. There are no people who will be watching the parade. The police will make sure nobody's out watching. It's not 2.5 miles. It's going to be like 2 or 3 blocks. The balloons will be attached to vehicles, so you won't have like 80 to 100 people with the ropes handing the balloons. Less balloons, less people. The all the acts will be pre-recorded and played back. It's basically a made-for-TV special. So there you go. There will be a Santa Claus at the end of the parade, but you make the best of it in the global pandemic, and that will be the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade tomorrow.
Is there a Seinfeld episode with the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade?
Yes, there. Wait a minute.
There was the Christmas parade.
There was the marathon episode.
There's definitely a parade episode because he drops the thing and pops the balloon.
It's got to be the Thanksgiving parade.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got to be, right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Thanksgiving.
Right, Tim, is it Tim Watley?
Tim the dentist?
Something like that.
Tim Watley, right.
I felt like there was a... I feel like I should know. Yeah. There's definitely a Thanksgiving parade episode.
He drops like a little statue or something, right? Yeah. Doesn't he? Yeah.
The mom and pop store is what it's called.
Yeah. It's got to be Thanksgiving.
Apparently it's the one where George buys John Voight's convertible. Yep. Okay. Now it makes more sense.
But it's not John Voight's convertible, right? He thinks it's John Voight. He finds a pencil with teeth marks in it.
He wants to get his dents in. Yeah,
that's right. That's the Tim Watley tie-in. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Pitt participates in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Okay, all right. I apologize for how amateurish that sounded, because there are some Seinfeld honks out there that know everything, and they're screaming right now like, yeah.
Duh, what are you guys doing?
It's the mom and pop store episode.
So you're saying our show at times sounds amateurish?
Yeah.
I beg to differ. I have no idea where that classification is coming from. So we got a couple tweets. So what are you doing about Thanksgiving Survivor this year?
We've got it. We've got a new field. It's most of your old favorites with a couple of new entrants into the field this year.
Gobble, gobble, turkey.
Well, we have to have
gobble,
Jim Harbaugh.
Gobble, turkey from Jive Turkey Gobblers.
Yeah, it's Jim, not John, right? That's Jim Harbaugh.
That's Jim. Yeah, it's Jim.
We are having mashed potatoes on the Simon Thanksgiving table tomorrow, just so you know.
By the way,
Mike
Shope was texting me. They were trying to talk about this yesterday, previewing it. How many different items have won this? Turkey's definitely won it.
I got to go back.
Brayton, seriously, you track that? There's no way you track that.
I mean, I don't have my nice Excel spreadsheet like I do for Howard Picks the Bills, but I do have the hashtag Thanksgiving Survivor so I can specifically keep track of years past with picks
right,
that we've had.
Check that out. Here are your contestants this year. Turkey, multi-time champion, of course. Stuffing, that's stovetop. And the stuffing that looks like sticks and twigs.
Yeah, I hate the rosemary stuffing. All right, fine.
Mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
Pumpkin pie. I've decided to separate pies into groups. We've got pumpkin pie as one group.
Mm-hmm.
Fruit pies as another group.
Oh, I can't wait for that one.
And dessert-ish pies as the third group. Because what we need to protect against is you walking in here hating apple pie and eliminating all of the peanut butter pies and things like that.
Hey.
So we have set, like, you, I don't like blueberries. Nobody gets to have pumpkin pie. So we've separated the pies this year.
Quick question. There's still some leftover pumpkin pie and apple pie in the tins that have been sitting out since yesterday morning. Should I try some?
No.
Shouldn't pies be refrigerated at a certain point?
No, it's okay. It depends.
I mean, I will gladly try some. There's whipped cream, so it'll help kill the taste of the pumpkin and the apple.
Some of our new entrants this year. Zoom calls.
Zoom.
Never been on a Thanksgiving Survivor.
Zoom calls.
Patio heaters are in this year.
Patio heaters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tents and canopies, for people that are able to be outside. Maybe you've got a big tent. You could have it outside.
Sure.
Okay, back to some regulars. A nap.
Oof.
Sweet potatoes.
Hell yeah.
Beer, wine, and liquor are all three separate. Green beans, corn, cranberry sauce in the can. And cranberry sauce with the sticks and twigs. It's important to have the two different kinds. The virtual turkey trot. The Cowboys game. The Lions game. And the Lake game. And that's it.
Okay, Lions.
I thought about a ceremonial coronavirus and we'd vote that out right away.
Yeah.
But no, didn't make the field.
Yeah, we don't have to vote out the pandemic.
Very good. Yeah, we'd like it all to get the heck out of here.
That would be nice if you don't mind.
Right. So that's your field. Zoom meetings, Zoom calls, patio heaters, and tents and canopies making a first appearance. You know, like, what an honor.
Yeah.
It's like Peyton Manning getting on the Hall of Fame list.
Zoom calls.
First-timer.
Let's hope this is the only time Zoom calls are on the list.
By the way, gents, this is the three of us. For the three of us, this is our fifth Thanksgiving Survivor that we've done.
Previous winners?
Previous winners here. We have the Bills-Cowboys game from last year.
That's right, yeah.
2018 was Jeff Skinner.
Hey, by the way, that...
Congratulations to Jeff Skinner
Was that in the 10-game win streak where he was, like, scoring overtime goals and stuff?
I'm pretty sure it
had
was,
to be, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations to Jeff Skinner.
The Bills-Cowboys pick last year? Solid pick for the Thanksgiving.
Listen,
Survivor.
This is no fly-by-night operation. We crown real champions.
2017, the winner was A Day Off.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's okay. We never.
And then in 2016, we had like the you're paired with like one great thing and one like not so great thing.
Oh yeah, the Alliance Survivor. Yeah.
Right, Alliance Survivor, and it came down to family and cranberry sauce, which and then the other the winner was gravy and beer.
Okay. Man, this sounds like good shows. No wonder people want to do it all the time.
We did okay, right? Yeah. That wasn't too bad.
Yeah, that's right.
Gravy and beer is
pairing cranberry sauce with family.
I don't know how cranberry sauce survived. I must not. I must have been out either. That year.
Family dragged it there.
And by the way, two cranberry sauces on your list this year.
Yeah, one of the sticks and twigs, and one out of the can. They're very different.
I don't like anything with sticks and twigs. That kills the stuffing for me. We got the stuffing bread yesterday. We're ready to make the stuffing. All right, headlines. Let's do headlines because Sal is standing by, going, "Look, guys, I know you're always late, but you're killing me." The Bills game against Denver. Now has a time and a date. It is Saturday the 19th, and it will be at 4:30. The Bills practiced yesterday. Dawson Knox and John Brown did not. Don't freak out. It could have been as simple as a veteran or a rest day for guys, which we'll find out from Sal in a moment. Steve Tasker, Cornelius Bennett, among 25 Hall of Fame semifinalists this year. Austin Eckler, Chargers running back, has been on injured reserve. There's a report they will designate him this week to return from IR, but still not sure if he would be able to play against the Bills on Sunday. More positive tests for the Ravens. Now five players and four staffers have tested positive for COVID. However, everything is still on schedule for them to get on a plane today, fly to Pittsburgh, and play the Steelers tomorrow night. College basketball season opens today in some way, shape, or form. UB's men had to reschedule their opener. They lost their game against Gannon tomorrow night, or tonight, rather. They'll play Friday against Towson at a tournament in Connecticut. The Bonner women have paused their basketball activities after a positive test. Your college football playoff initial rankings, Bama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State are in your top four. Those are your headlines. Sal is on the way in a moment on WGR.